We continue our learning the Nishmas David ben Menachem Nush and Mecham Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Yevamos Perek Vav Mishnah Dalet. Kohen Gadol lo yisa almana ben almana min ha'erusin ben almana min ha'nisuin. Kohen Gadol is not permitted to live, as the Chumash says in the beginning of Parshas Emor, cannot marry an almana, a widow. But the chiddush of the Mishnah here is that not only is this a widow from nisuin, where the widow who he wants to marry had already had chuppah and lived and married, was living with another husband and the husband passed away, but even min ha'erusin, even if she only had kiddushin with this other husband, only erusin, never lived together and the husband passed away, nonetheless, she's considered an almana, and a kohen gadol is not permitted to live with her, even though she's still a besula, let's say. Why is this true? So the pasuk says, in beginning Parshas Emor, it says, almana ugirusha, and then the pasuk says, lo yikach. So there's a comparison between a hekesh, between almana and gerusha. We compare almana, widow, to a gerusha, to divorcee. In what way? Just like when it comes to a gerusha, it makes no difference whether a woman receives a get after erusin or after nisuin. Once a woman has kiddushin as erusin, she's a menaceous ish, and in order to be divorced, she needs a get. So therefore, after that get, she has the status of a gerusha. So if that's true when it comes to gerushin, divorce, we're going to say it's the same thing as true when it comes to becoming a widow. That even after kiddushin, a woman who now becomes an almana after kiddushin, even though she didn't live with her husband, is also going to be usher to a kohen. Then the Mishnah says, "V'lo yisa es habogeres." Nor should a kohen gadol marry a bogeres. A bogeres is a girl who's already 12 and a half and up. Meaning, the Mishnah is teaching us that a kohen gadol should be marrying a nara, a girl between 12 and 12 and a half. The three stages we have: a girl is a ketana until 12, and then she's a nara from 12 to 12 and a half. Many halachos apply to a nara specifically, and a kohen gadol was saying, according to the Tanna Kamma, should marry a nara from 12 to 12 and a half. Once she's 12 and a half, he should no longer marry her. Why not? The pasuk says, "V'hu isha b'psuleha yikach." The pasuk only says it's a positive commandment for a kohen gadol to marry a besula. So what's the problem after bagrus? So we assume that after bagrus, so we assume that the besulim diminish somewhat. And since anatomically the besulin diminish somewhat, we don't consider that her to have the status of a besula to fulfill the positive commandment of v'hu isha b'besuleha yikach. And then Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin b'bogeres. They disagree with the Tanna Kamma. They say bibsula can even be mitzas besulim. She still is a besula, because she's a besula till at 12 and a half. She can be besula 20. She can be besula 25. Even though there could be, they've diminished somewhat, so it still has the status of being a besula, but we don't follow Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and therefore Kohen Gadol should not be marrying a bogeres. He should marry specifically a nara under the age of 12 and a half. Lo yisais mukaseitz, nor should a Kohen Gadol marry a mukaseitz. A mukaseitz is where the woman, the girl, is missing her besulim because of some type of injury. So there's some external factor, which is why the hymen is no longer there. And that also has a statement when Mishnais and Maseches Ksuvis discuss what's the status of a woman who's a mukaseitz, who through injury she no longer has besulim. So you have machlokas, let's say, for example, between Rami Meir and the Chachamim, how much should the ksuba be? The ksuba of a besula is usually 200 zuz, and an almana or a gerusha, a be'ula, is 100 zuz. What about mukaseitz? She's not a be'ula, she didn't live with anyone, she's just lacked just the she's missing the besulim because of some type of external factor, some type of injury. Maybe the ksuba should remain 200. She still is somewhat a besula. On the other hand, physically she doesn't have besulim, so another opinion says it's only 100 zuz. So here he's saying that the kohen gadol should not be marrying a mukaseitz. The pasuk says v'hu isha b'psuleha yikach, and a mukaseitz does not have besulim. Eres es ha'almana. Let's say you have a case where a regular Kohen Hedyot, was Mekadesh, an almana, which is perfectly okay. She's a widow. He's a regular Kohen. And he gives her a Kesek Kiddushin. They're planning on getting married and have a chuppah another year from now. Vinitzmana li is Kohen Gadol. And during that time, he was appointed, before they entered the chuppah, he was appointed the Kohen Gadol. So now, she should be usher to him. She's an almana. Says the Mishnah, Yichnos. He's permitted to take her under the chuppah and live together, her husband as husband and wife. Why? Because at the time, time he was Mekadesh her, it was considered Kiddushin Beheter, and that Kiddushin was a full-fledged marriage, and therefore, and at that time he was a Kohen Hedyot, they're allowed to live together. And the Mishnah then supports this by a story, Umayseh B'Yoshua Ben Gamla. There was a story of Yoshua Ben Gamla. Yoshua Ben Gamla, the Gemara has in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph, says he was the one who really started the whole educational, Jewish educational system we have nowadays. The Gemara praises him because originally father taught a son, but not all fathers could teach sons. And people didn't have fathers, so he started us. So in Yerushalayim, they would set up yeshivos, and eventually in every community, there were yeshivos that were set up based on Yeshua ben Gamla. So he seemed to be a very special person. But the case here was, he was a Kohen, Shekidesh Marsa Bas Baisus. He gave Kiddushin, was planning on marrying this Marsa Babaisus, who was an almana, who was a widow, and that was perfectly okay because he was a Kohen Hedyot. Umino HaMelech Leos Kohen Gadol Vikhansa. And then the Melech, was Yanai HaMelech at that time, appointed him, not the greatest of kings, appointed him to be the Kohen Gadol, and he then married her, even though he was a Kohen Gadol and she was an almana, because he gave her Kesef Kiddushin prior to becoming a Kohen Gadol. Gemara points out, it says, what do you mean the Melech appointed Kohen Gadol? Why was it the Melech? Well, he wasn't really fit to be the Kohen Gadol because apparently Marsa Bas Baisus, his wife, gave Yana HaMelech a very large sum of money to bribe him, and therefore he was appointed Kohen Gadol. Tosus there asks in Bava Basra, so I guess he wasn't such a great guy, Yeshua Ben Gamla. So Tosus says, no, he was a wonderful person. There were other people who may have been more fit for the Kohuna Gedola, and because of this bribe, he was appointed. It doesn't mean he wasn't such a great person. Maybe he was. Then the Mishnah says, Shomeres Yavam Shenafel Lefnei Kohen Hedyot V'Nismana Lios Kohen Gadol. So here's a case where she's an almana, she's a Shomeres Yavam, her husband passed away, and now the brother, who's also a Kohen, has the mitzvah now to marry his almana, to marry his sister-in-law, to marry his brother's wife. But now he's appointed to become the Kohen Gadol before he did Yibum. So now, but she's an almana, can't live with her. Says the Mishnah, Af al pi she'asa b'mamar, harez lo yichnos. Not only can he marry her in general because she's an almana, even if he gave her the Kiddushin de Rabbanon of Mamar, as we've been speaking about, that does not have the same effect as the Kiddushin we spoke about just a couple of minutes ago. When it comes to a regular Kiddushin is a Kiddushin d'Oraisa. So such a Kiddushin by a Kohen Hedyot will allow him to marry the Almana if he's then appointed to become the Kohen Gadol before Chuppah. That's okay. But if it's a case of Yibum, case of a Shomeres Yavam, and he did the Mamar, which is only Kiddushin Derabban, it's only partial marriage, doesn't have any effect, so therefore, Harez Eloichnos, he's not allowed to marry, he can't perform Yibum, because in the end of the day, she is an Almana. Kohen Gadol Shemei Sochiv Choletz V'lo Miyabim. You have a case where the Kohen Gadol's brother died. He's already a Kohen Gadol. And his brother died, so now this Shomeres Yavam, this woman falls to him to Yibam, but she's an Almana, and he's already a Kohen Gadol. So he can't perform Yibam, because he can't live with an Almana. Should he perform Chalitza? Says the Mishnah, Choletz v'lo miyabim. He has Chalitza, not Yibam. And Tosis asks, that should be obvious to us. After all, what else do we expect him to do? He can't live with her, so he can't form Yibam. Why shouldn't he have to do Chalitza? Of course he would have to do Chalitza. So Tosis says, I would have thought maybe because it's not respectful to the Kohen Gadol that she should be spitting on the floor in front of him, which is part of the Chalitza ceremony. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, we're not choshesh, we're not concerned about his kavod, and you perform the mitzvah of Chalitza the way it should be done. Perek Vav, Mishnah Hey, Kohen Hedyot, Lo Yisa Islandis. Elohim Cain, Yeshlo Isha Ubanim. Kohen Hedyot, regular Kohen, should not marry an islandess. Islandess we've had before. Islandess is a woman who has not physically matured, and because of that, she's not able to have children. So a Kohen Hedyot should not marry her, because he can't perform the mitzvah of Peru Revu, unless he has already a wife and children, or he has a wife from whom another wife with whom he can have children. Now, the Gemara points out that this is how should be halacha for everybody, not only for a Kohen Hedyot. Even Yisrael, a Levi Yisrael, shouldn't marry an islandess unless because he has a mitzvah of Peru Revu, unless you have another wife, unless you have a wife and children, you already have children. So the Gemara says, you're right, this halacha applies to everybody, but because of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which we're about to mention now, that's why we need in the Mishnah to speak about a Kohen Hedyot specifically, as we will see. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afal Pisha Yeshlo Isha Ubanim Lo Isa Islandis, says Rabbi Yehuda, Kohen Hedyot, even if he was already married to another woman and has children, should not marry an islandess, not marry this woman who cannot have children. Why? Shehi zona ha'amura batora. Because this is a violation of living with a zona. It says in Parshas Emor, isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu. So you can't marry a zona, you can't marry a chalala. So a zona, what is a zona? According to Rabbi Yehuda, is an expanded understanding of what a zona is. Since she's not ru'uya leilet, she's not able to have children, marrying her is tantamount to taking someone for purposes of znus, for promiscuity, and therefore it's prohibited for a Kohen. Now, Yisrael can, but a Kohen cannot. So a Kohen should not marry an islandess according to Rabbi Yehuda at all, even if he has the issue of banim, because that's a violation of living with the zona, but a Yisrael is permitted to do so, assuming he has issue of banim. V'chachamim omrim, no, that's not what the definition of a zona is. Ein zona ela giyores umishuchreres v'shenivel abilasnos. What is a zona which Kohen is not permitted to marry? Very important halacha lamaaseh. And that is, first of all, a giyores, a woman who has converted. Now, this is true even if she converted when she was very young. According to some opinions, this is only if she converted after age, only if she converted after age 3, before age 3. So it's a different status because the besulim come back. The Mishnayos and Ksuvas discuss that, but according to some Rishonim, it makes no difference when this happened. They may have a difference of the status in terms of what we'll learn about in Ksuvas called the Tanas Besulim, whether the husband can claim, I didn't find her being to be Besula, or maybe the value of the Ksuba. But regarding this, regarding marrying a Giores, even if she converted when she was very young, maybe even younger than 3, there's at least an Isra Durabanan to marry her. For Kohen to marry her. So Gioris is off limits because we're afraid, in general, we're afraid that she was with a non-Jew at some point during that time. And a Meshuchreris, this is a Shivka Kananis, this is a non-Jewish maidservant who was emancipated, even though she's Chayv and Mitzvos like a Jewish woman, During that time, she's allowed to live with an Eved, and therefore we're afraid of that. And what we call Nivala Bilasdos. What's Bilasdos? Now we're talking about Jews. So what would make a woman a Zona, and therefore forbidden to marry a Kohen? So that is, according to one opinion, what we call Bilasdos. What's considered promiscuous Bia? So the one opinion is, according to many Rishonim, a woman who had Bia with any man, that's Asatar. And that would be true whether that union is an Isser Krisus, an Isser Kares, an Isser Misas Bastin, even an Isser Chayve Lav, and even only where the Isser is Malkos that's involved, or even an Asay. As long as that assay is what we call shava bakol. So take, for example, an assay that's not shava bakol. What's a positive commandment, an isser from a positive commandment, that's not shava bakol? That's the positive commandment of a Kohen Gadol to marry a besula. So what is it? It says, v'hu isha b'besuleho yikach. We quoted that from the previous Mishnah. He has to marry a besula. What does that imply? He can't marry a woman who's a be'ula, who was with another man at some point. So that teaches us that, that's an assay, because it's a positive commandment. It's an Isra Asay. It's a negative commandment that comes from a positive commandment. But that's an Asay that's not Shava B'Kol. That's not equal across everybody. That's not universal. That's only applies to a Kohen Gadol. So that's not what we're talking about in our Mishnah. That doesn't make someone a Zona. A Zona is where there's an Asay or a Lav that is Shava B'Kol, applies to everybody. So take, for example, Ager Amoni Moavi. Someone converted, they were from Amon Moav. So that's the Torah prohibits as a Lav. Or Mitzri Va'adomi, up until the third generation. We have this in Parshas as well, along with Mamzer. We have in Parshas Kisetze. So the Pasuk says, Dor Shlishi Yavo Lahem. So in the third generation, yes, you can have a Mitzri and Adomi marry into the Jewish congregation. But what does that show you? But before that, Dor Sheni, lo. But a previous first or second generation Mitzri Adomi are not permitted to marry. Now, that is an asay, that's Shavah B'kol. It's a positive command. It's a lav haba mechlal asay. It is a negative command that comes from an asay, which has the status of an asay. But it is the prohibited bia, and that's bilas nus. And a woman who was engaged in that type of bia becomes a zona as well, prohibited to marry a kohen. And of course, a nusin and a mamzer, which are alav, which are shavah b'kol as well, has she lived with them. And some say that a zona that's puzzled to a kohen is only one who had bia where the union was a chiyuv kares or a misas basedin, because kiddushin are not tofes in those cases, as we mentioned. Kiddushin wouldn't take effect with a chiyuv kares. We said it takes someone, let's say someone's sister, to say aram yukadeshishli in front of two eidim, give something to your sister, it's meaningless, doesn't mean anything. And same thing when it comes to misos basedin unions. So in those cases where kiddushin don't take effect, kiddushin aren't tofsin, that type of union turns a woman into a zona and would be usher to a kohen. And the same thing would be true here, actually lived with a non-Jew or from an Eved, where Kiddushin obviously is not tofis with from a Nachri or an Eved. But a woman who had bia from Chayve Lavin or Asay, in these cases, would not be called a Zona, because Kiddushin do are tofis, and that such a woman would be Mutter Tekuna. So this is a Machlok, it's Rishonim, and very important Halacha L'Maaseh.